Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's begin with boxing. We're now just over 2 weeks away from the so-called fight of the century. The welterweight showdown on May 2nd between Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas, Nevada. Both fighters held public workouts this week, Mayweather in Vegas and Pacquiao in Los Angeles, California. Mayweather described Pacquiao as a very, very reckless fighter who leaves himself open to punches. Meanwhile, the Pac-Man's trainer, Freddie Roach, says the 38-year-old Mayweather simply doesn't have the endurance he had in his prime.
Well, everyone gets older and so it slows down a little bit. But the thing is, you know, 5 years ago, Floyd would be on his bike and he'd run all night and we'd all fall asleep. I mean, this is going to be a much better fight, I feel, because his legs aren't what they used to be and he has to take breaks and he does rest on the ropes at times. And if he rests on the ropes with Manny Pacquiao, he'll be in trouble.
Hall of Fame trainer Freddie Roach also doesn't sound worried about any new tactics Floyd Mayweather might unveil in the ring on May 2nd.
There's nothing really I'm really concerned about so much. You know, the thing is, I know he's a good fighter, but I just think I have the better fighter. And I think the hand speed is going to be a big, big difference. And he's much quicker than he is.
Freddie Roach is hoping the Pac-Man can become the first prize fighter to beat Floyd Mayweather. But as Floyd reminds us...
Like I always say, for every fight, everybody had a game plan. As of right now, there's not a blueprint on how to beat Floyd Mayweather. No one has found the way to break the Mayweather code.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right, give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
This is Larry Zamuje, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 80.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station. Of course, we partner the VOA.
VOA!
And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 80.9 Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. And more grease to the sporty elbows of you and your sports radio 88.9 Brilla FM staffs in Lagos and Abuja, as well as in Kaduna and Onitsha. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, my VOA colleagues Tef Tef and Downtown Brown will have our English Premier League football question of the week.
Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef. So the EPL question of the week was, top of the table Chelsea will host third place Manchester United on Saturday at Stamford Bridge.
Is there a particular player who you think will be an X factor in this most anticipated match? So Tef, who'd you pick?
We had a lot of comments. The first one that I really liked was the one that mentioned the two Belgians for each team. That's Marouane Fellaini and Eden Hazard being important. Emmanuel Ebuka said, to me, the two X-Factor players for the match on both teams are Fellaini for Man United and Hazard, the two Belgians, are the players to watch for. I completely agree. Fellaini has been a revelation this season, completely changed the game. And Hazard has always been good, and he's almost up to for the player of the season this year.
And at the same time, this is one of the most comments we ever had so far, so hats off to you guys. It's
remarkable. So many. Look, here are all the papers.
The person I picked for this week is Onyemix Demary Maker. He said, the only player that can be the X factor in this match is Fellaini. We found Fabregas in his pocket at the first leg. When Fabregas was in very good form, he will score one goal and assist. Manchester win 1-3. And actually, the funny thing was, someone commented, Don Prish the Unbeatable said, can you bet money on that game? And so,
ouch.
I don't know. We got to see what's going to happen next.
I mean, I'm fairly confident that United is going to play even better this time around. So, for me, this game is important because either Chelsea takes the title this weekend or the title race somewhat opens up, although it's not guaranteed. Chelsea is still far ahead. So, that's very possible.
Because you know what's going to happen. Arsenal is going to start creeping and creeping.
Not Arsenal. This is a Chelsea-Man United conversation.
Yeah,
let's try and keep Arsenal
fine.
Out of this.
That's fine. I'll take that one.
All right. So, another comment that I really liked is, it goes back to the coaches. It says the X factor will be the coach, Jose. His tactics will prove he's the best coach. I see Chelsea winning the game, even as people say that Chelsea is in a deep form. And, this is Sam Bata. Thank you for the comment. I agree. I mean, Jose Mourinho has always proven that he's a good coach, especially when it comes to these one-off games. But let's not forget that Louis van Gaal is also pretty amazing. So,
I had Daniel. Coach Dan, I like the name already. He says, I think Juan Mata must have been expecting this match, and now it comes.
Oh, yes.
Mata has to prove to Chelsea, since he's a world-class player, and since Chelsea sold him, he can't wait to play this match.
Yes, I think it's going to be the revenge game for Mata. He's been in great form since Van Gaal decided to put him back on the field. He will get one goal or an assist.
Tough. Who's your X-Factor in the match?
I mean, somebody commented this as well, but I think the goalies will have a big job to do because both defenses have not been that amazing lately. At least they've conceded a goal each. But at the same time, they're both two of the best. Well, number one, Chelsea defense in the Premier League, and number three is Manchester United. So they're not easy defenses, but I think the goalies, who are, to me, number one and number two in the league right now, will have a good competition going on.
Yeah, because...
What about you?
I was going to say the goalies too, but at the same time, I'm probably going to go with the former Arsenal teammate, Van Persie.
I think
he's going to do pretty well this game. I'll probably say he's going to make a big X factor
if he starts. He did score in the first tie at Old Trafford to equalize in the last minute. So
if not kind of him, then everyone's commenting Wayne Rooney. So up Wayne Rooney.
Rooney.
Yeah. So next we're going to move on to some of the matches we have over the weekend.
What do we have?
Arsenal versus Sunderland, Everton versus Burnley, Southampton versus Stoke City, and then the famous Manchester United versus Chelsea. So, Tuff, who do you think is going to get the win out of those matches you said?
I think, Arsenal, they can't afford to lose any more games if they want to, have hope for that little title challenge that they have. Sunderland got beat very, very badly last weekend, so... I think Arsenal has this one, but Arsenal have to focus. And
because we barely won, because that game should have been a tie. And I'll be honest, that was a 1-0 win. So it was really close.
But again, I was slightly impressed. I will say that because I've always said that Arsenal is not a team that wins 1-0 because they're usually nervous. They can't keep a one-goal lead. And so they win when they score two goals, but a one-goal win, to me, is a small sign that at least Arsenal are becoming, good at finishing games.
PFA Player of the Year nominations. We have Eden Hazard, Diego Costa, Harry Kane, Alexis Sanchez, and then famous De Gea saves.
De Gea saves.
We want you guys to talk about it amongst yourselves. Who do you think is going to get that?
The Player of the Year. I mean,
I'm going to say Alexis Sanchez because he had an amazing start. He's been slow a little bit, but he came out on top. Perfect transfer from Barcelona to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Tef, I know you want to say it.
I mean, in my opinion, I've always said that even last year when Yaya Toure lost out to, I think, Suarez, I was upset because I think the player that wins the Player of the Year should usually come out of the team that's going to win the league. And so this year, I think Hazard came in second to Suarez last year. I think he's he deserves it, to be honest, because he's carried Chelsea for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But again, if Chelsea lose out, then I think the only contender is Arsenal, and you have to give it Sanchez.
Okay.
And De Gea, you know, goalies don't usually get these awards, but De Gea also earned Manchester United a lot of points to keep them in the race.
And I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef.
Hey, have a great weekend, you guys.
Cheers.
I posed our EPL question of the week. Who do you think will be the X factor in Saturday's Chelsea-Man U match to our football guru, David Legg?
Sonny, I'm going to go for the Spaniard Mata from Manchester United for two reasons. X factor as in a player with special skills, and also X as in former. And he, of course, is a former Chelsea player. He's going now back to Stamford Bridge to face his former club. Mata has been in outstanding form lately. I have to very sadly relate that my team, Liverpool, were the victims of his skills, his clinical finishing, just a few weeks ago. Manchester United came to Liverpool and it was seen as a crucial game towards the Champions League. A reminder to all our Sunnyside Sport listeners, the top three finishers in the English Premier League, they qualify for the group stage of the European Champions League. And the fourth-placed finisher, they go into the qualifying round. So if at all possible, the club wants to finish in the top three. But if not, they want that fourth place. And the thing is, Sonny, it's the most prestigious competition. Many people say, in fact, that the standard of football in the Champions League is much higher than in the World Cup. And I wouldn't disagree with that. Of course, there is a big factor in favour of the Champions League in that when you're playing for your club, you're playing with the same players up to 10 months a year. When you're playing for your national team, you gather every few months or so. And in the case of the World Cup, you gather a couple of weeks before the tournament begins. So you don't have that same teamwork. It's just not humanly possible. So in the English Premier League, although Chelsea at this stage are 7 points ahead and they look certain to win the title with just six rounds left, there's a battle royal going on for second, third and fourth positions. And at the moment, Arsenal have got 66 points. Manchester United have got 65 points. They're in third position. And very significantly, they're 4 points ahead of the defending champions, Manchester City, with 61. Now, it is with some degree of difficulty, Sonny, that I have to say the following. Manchester United hammered Manchester City 4-2 in the Manchester derby at the weekend. Now, as a Liverpool fan, of course, there are various obligations you have, and one of those is you certainly do not support Manchester United. Quite the opposite. In fact, what you do, Sonny, is you support every club that plays against Manchester United. But on the sunny side of sports, objectivity is crucial, and I must say, Manchester United, after falling behind early in the game against Manchester City at Old Trafford, gave a really dominant performance. And among the goal scorers was none other than Mr. X Factor himself, Mata. At one stage, they were in fact 4-1 ahead, Manchester City getting a late second goal. But Manchester United won that match, and Manchester City were absolutely nowhere. I wouldn't even say they finished second. They were so far behind Manchester United. And then an interesting twist, Sonny, is that Liverpool, they beat Newcastle United in the Monday match 2-0, and they're now just 4 points behind Manchester City. Now, that's quite a gap with just six rounds left, but Manchester City are in free fall at the moment. They're really going downhill fast. At one stage, they were challenging Chelsea for the title. They're now battling to stay in the top four and just qualify for the Champions League. And for a team that has cost the Qatari owners so much money, for Manchester City not to make the top four and not qualify for Europe would be nothing short of a disaster. But yes, I need to get back to Stamford Bridge. That's a really great game to look forward to at the weekend. And my advice to all our Voice of America listeners around Africa is keep a special eye out for Mata. He's in top form. One goal against City, two goals against Liverpool. he's one to watch.
In African club football, David, fans across the continent looking forward to another round in the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup tournaments. We've reached the last 16 stage in both competitions. Let's begin with the Champions League, David. And how about the fixtures?
Right, Sonny, we've got USM Alger of Algeria against Kaloum of Guinea. I'm tipping USM Alger to win that first leg and also to win the tie. Sanga Belendi of DR Congo against Al Hilal of Sudan. Sanga have been one of the surprise packets. They beat teams from Angola, and then they beat Cotton Sport of Cameroon, who've been doing well in recent years. And I actually give them the edge over Hilal, although Hilal definitely have got a lot more experience. These are good times, in fact, for the DR Congo, Sonny. All four clubs from that country are still in contention, two in the Champions League and two others in the Confederations Cup. Sudan have two teams in the Champions League. Their other team, El Merrekh, are at home to Esperance of Tunisia. I feel this is going to be more bad news for the Sudanese because Esperance, to me, are a side that traditionally get at least to the group stage, and they do look to me stronger over two legs than El Merrekh. Then you've got El Ulma of Algeria against CS Sfaxien of Tunisia. And there's a lot of North African teams, as you'll notice, in this last 16 stage. El Ulma have scraped through their match against Ashanti Kotoko. Sfaxien, on the other hand, were very impressive when they hammered Samasi Sokoto 5-0 in Togo in the first leg. And I give CS Sfaxien a good chance, Sonny, of getting through to the group stage. AC Leopards of Congo-Brazzaville against Smouha of Egypt. Now, Smouha are new kids on the block. When you think of Egypt and you think of the Champions League, it's normally Al Ahly and Zamalek. And no surprise, Ahly have won it a record 8 times and Zamalek have won it 5 times. But this time Zamalek didn't make it, and this team, Smouha, from Alexandria, the port city in the north of the country, they've already knocked out Enyimba of Nigeria, so they've got good credentials. AC Leopards, they've been doing well in Africa in recent years. And this one, Sonny, is a difficult one to call. But I'm going to go perhaps against the tide slightly here and go with Smouha. Next up would be Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco against Al Ahly. Another tricky one, Sonny. I'll go with Al Ahly to scrape through. Yet another big tie is Raja Casablanca of Morocco against Entente Setif of Algeria, who are the defending champions. In the previous round, Raja eliminated Kaizer Chiefs of South Africa. And boy, did they get good support in Casablanca in the return match. A crowd of up to 70,000 packed into the Stade Mohammed V to roar on the team known as the Green Devils. Well-organized side, and they've got some sharp finishers in their team. Setif had a pretty comfortable victory over Real Banjul of the Gambia. Tough one this, Sonny, really tough one. I'm going to go with Raja to edge the Setif side out of the competition. And then finally, Stade Malien of Mali against TP Mazembe of the DR Congo. Mazembe, 4 times African champions, and I feel that they will be slight favourites to win that tie. The first leg is on April 17, 18 and 19, and the return match is on May 1, 2 and 3. And a reminder to our listeners that the winners qualify group stages, where the 8 clubs will be split into 2 groups of 4. But it's not all over for the losers. They will go into the playoffs in the CAF Confederations Cup against the CAF Confederation Cup last 16 winners. So the winners go into the group stages and the losers down to the CAF Confederation Cup.
And speaking of the CAF Confederation Cup, David, how about a preview of the last 16 in that tournament?
Right, Sonny, you've got Ons Creatures of Mali. That's 11 creators. I've had 4, maybe 5 emails recently about a team from Mali who are competing in Africa for the first time. So they're a creative bunch, these guys. And they're up against the far more experienced ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast, who will be favorites to win that tie. In another West African showdown, you've got Djoliba of Mali against Hearts of Oak of Ghana. Hearts of Oak were under a lot of fire within Ghana before the CAF Confederation got kicked off. Former stars of the club and also the national team said that Hearts lacked quality and their competing in Africa was a waste of money. Well, Hearts have silenced their critics. They had home and away wins in the previous round over in Gore of Senegal. And they'll put up a good fight, I believe, against Djoliba of Mali. And this one's tough to call. But given the fact that Hearts have won 3 matches and drawn 1, and they're proving to be not such a waste of money after all, I'm going to give them slight edge there. CAF Algeria play Club Africain of Tunisia in an all-North African tie. Club Africain have not actually kicked the ball yet in the competition, although we've had 2 rounds. They had a bye in the first round, and then Dolphins of Nigeria arrived late in Tunisia and were disqualified. So we don't really know the form of Club Africain at this stage, but I would make them favorite. Warri Wolves of Nigeria, they're at home to the free-scoring Etan Chieti from DR Congo. Now, the Congolese hit Al-Asli Shendi of Sudan for 5 in Kinshasa in the previous round. So they're coming with some good form. But nevertheless, I think the Wolves can win this tie over 2 matches. The famous name, the Malik of Egypt, up against Fuz Rabat of Morocco. Fuz, previous winners of the Confederation Cup. So Malik competing in the Confederation Cup for the first time. And they get my tip to advance from that North African derby. Munana of Gabon take on Orlando Pirates of South Africa. Munana are the top scorers so far in the Confederation Cup. They've banged in 12 goals in 4 matches, an average of 3 a game. But they're up against by far their toughest opposition so far in Orlando Pirates, former African champions. And I would make the Soweto Buccaneers slight favorites to advance. Young Africans of Tanzania, the only East African side left in the competition, they're up against the 12 Sahel of Tunisia, another former winner of the Confederation Cup. And when East and North clash, Sonny, it does tend to go in favor of the North. And finally, you've got my heroes, I guess, at this stage of the competition, Royal Leopard, that's the police team from Swaziland. They're up against V-Club from the Democratic Republic of Congo. This one looks like a bit of a mismatch. V-Club last year reached the final of the Champions League and were beaten only on the away goal rule by Anton Sertif. Royal Leopard, on the other hand, are trying to create history and become the first club from Swaziland to make the playoffs of the CAF Confederation Cup. Sadly, I think the Congolese will emerge victorious. Same date, Sonny, as the Champions League. First legs, April 17, 18, and 19. Return matches, May 1, 2, and 3. The losers are eliminated from the competition, and then the winners will play the losers of the Champions League last 16 ties.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
'Cause this is Africa. Tami, nami, na, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tami, nami, na, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Very excited. Chabulile. Hola.
'Cause this is Africa. Tamina mina. Eh, eh. Waka waka. Eh, eh. Tamina mina. Sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Now let's go to Uganda, where the Disney movie production of The Queen of Katwe, about young chess prodigy Fiona Mutesi, has sparked new interest in the game. Now children from around the country are taking up chess like never before. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a report by Elizabeth Pola in Kampala.
Enthusiasm for chess has been on the rise in Uganda ever since Disney started filming The Queen of Katwe. The movie follows the life of Fiona Mutesi, who made it from the slums to become one of Uganda's best and youngest chess players. This publicity has had a noted impact on Uganda's chess federation, as enrollment has doubled in recent months. Once a game played primarily in cities, chess has expanded its reach, with children in rural communities becoming interested in the game. Unable to afford their own chess boards, kids will often create their own set out of soap figurines or bottle caps and play against their classmates. Caxton Rogers Kalule, the publicity specialist for the Ugandan Chess Federation, has been playing the game for 17 years. He now finds himself traveling across the country teaching chess to youths. However, he says, chess is more than just a simple board game. Rather, it teaches people how to think, focus, and understand strategy. For this reason, one of the Federation's many focuses are vulnerable kids.
In the not too near future, we want to be like chess, like being played like in every district across the country, especially in these densely populated slum areas. because we discovered that chess, we can use chess like to put kids out of the streets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For example, even Mutes was among the kids who were on the street, but it was because of chess we had managed to put them together in one place. Mm-hmm. And we find that they even started getting interested in going back to school rather than going in the street and pickpocketing, those kind of things. Then, with time, we really hope that we shall have a very, very positive impact on the society around the country.
It's also a unifying game, as players do not need to share the same culture, gender, or even language to enjoy playing together. Matthias Sanko, one of the newest members of the Ugandan national team, says chess expands into every reach of his life, helping him decide on everything from business to marriage.
It's a romantic game. I touch everything into it. I take it like a business. I take it like a movie. I can lift it and put it in every aspect of life. Chess affects my lifestyle. It affects my dress code. It affects my music. In business, I can say, now my king, it's me. I'm the managing director. My queen, you know, I can have managers. Down here, there's major pieces. I can have casual laborers. Or I can make it a war tactic.
The U.S. Embassy in Kampala has also put together a beginner's team and received a massive outpouring of interest from the community. However, funding for chess programs still remains a challenge in Uganda. Airline tickets to Olympiads or championships must be donated, and many players end up spending their own money to compete internationally. Yet for chess lovers in Uganda, cost comes secondary to their love of the game. Elizabeth Pola, VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
The National Basketball Association playoffs tip off on Saturday with four first-round games. Remember, VOA basketball fans, all series during the NBA playoffs are best-of-seven games. In Saturday's first game, the Toronto Raptors will host my beloved Washington Wizards. I'm picking the Wizards to wave their magical wands, clip the wings of the Raptors, and advance. In Saturday's second game, the Golden State Warriors will host the New Orleans Pelicans. The Warriors finished the regular season with the NBA's best record, 67 wins and 15 losses, and they must be considered one of the favorites to lift the trophy. In Saturday's two other playoff games, the Chicago Bulls are at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. And in a Texas showdown, the Houston Rockets will host the Dallas Mavericks. As I told my friend Toyin Ibitoye on Nigeria's Channels TV Thursday evening, the Rockets feature explosive guard James Harden, who, in my opinion, has basketball's best beard. On Sunday, four more NBA playoff series will tip off. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Boston Celtics. The Atlanta Hawks, who had the NBA's second-best regular season record with 60 victories and 22 defeats, are at home against the Brooklyn Nets. The Los Angeles Clippers will host the defending NBA champion San Antonio Spurs in what should be a very entertaining first-round series. And the Memphis Grizzlies are at home against the Portland Trail Blazers. During the NBA playoffs, the league will announce various winners of its major awards, including Most Valuable Player. The Sunny Side of Sports is picking either Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors or the bearded James Harden to win that award. And Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder, they didn't qualify for the playoffs, but Westbrook, the league's leading scorer, should get a few votes. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.